saw something in Ann Landers, Dear Abby, Ann Landers is what I used to read. Dear Abby these days, I don't know whether you get to Tennessean, but this was in Friday, January the 1st. I'm going to read part of it. Can you believe it's 2010, it's the 10th anniversary of Y2K? You remember when all that stuff was going on, all the computers were messing up? And that was 10 years ago. Seems like only yesterday. Oh, a lot of yesterdays. But a new year's arrived, bringing with it our chance for a new beginning. Today's the day we discard destructive old habits. This was the first of the year. For healthy new ones. So, with that in mind, I'll share Dear Abby's often requested list of New Year's resolutions, which were adapted from something she got from her mother, which was the original credo of Al-Anon. You know Al. Just for today, I will live through this day only. I will not brood about yesterday or obsess about tomorrow. I'll not set far-reaching goals or try to overcome all of my problems at once. That can be quite depressing, quite disturbing, you know, if you're just trying to work on some things. It's inch by inch, it's a cinch, and yard by yard, it's a hard. That's something I heard somewhere. I know that I can do something for 24 hours that would overwhelm me if I had to keep it up for a lifetime. Do you ever think about that? I know I can do something for 24 hours that would overwhelm me if I had to do it for a lifetime. Just for today, I'll be happy and not dwell on thoughts that depress me. If my mind fills with clouds, I'll chase them away and fill it with sunshine. Just for today, I will accept what is. I will face reality. I will correct those things that I can correct and accept those I cannot. Many of us like the reality TV shows and don't like our own reality many times. Just for today, I'll improve my mind. I'll read something that requires effort. Suggestion, the Bible. Requires effort, thought, and concentration. Consecration, that's all right, too. I will not be a mental loafer. Did you ever think about something other than shoes being called loafers? A mental loafer. Just for today, I'll make a conscious effort to be agreeable. Wouldn't that be nice? You know, people, nations going to meet with other nations. Today we're going to be agreeable. I'll be kind and courteous to those across my path, and I'll not speak ill of others. I'll improve my appearance. Speak softly. Sorry about that. Speak softly and not interrupt when someone else is talking. I do that. Just for today, I'll refrain from improving anybody but myself. That doesn't hit home to anybody, does it? Not me. Oh, no. Just for today, I'll do something positive to improve my health. If I'm a smoker, I'll quit. If I'm overweight, I'll eat healthfully. If only just for today. It only takes a day at a time. Not only that, I'll get off the couch and take a brisk walk, even if it's only around the block, or if it's cold, if it's only around the TV set. Okay, around the couch a couple of times. Just for today, I will gather the courage to do what is right and take responsibility for my own actions. That's a lot to think about then. Basically, it says, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Let us do and think about the things today. We'll have something else to say about that a little bit later. We come to the beginning of a new year. We're 3 days into it today. And some of us with anticipation, some of us with trepidation, I guess. We leave the old. We gather as God's children and welcome the new. You know, there's something about having something that's new. I a new shirt. I got some new shirts, would you believe? Kohl's was having a good play. My sister said, Kohl's? I said, well, I, I wasn't near Walmart, to check them out right then. But anyway, they're a new tie, new coat, new dress, new shoes, after you work them in a little bit, new pair of socks. New beginnings. A newborn child, grandchild, or remembering back our own children. The new birth, when we first became a Christian. Think about that. A new friend. Now we have a new year. If we look at the calendar, I doubt you have very much written on that calendar, do you? What will be written on that calendar will be determined by you and by me. We have the power to do what we will with each day. It's like being given a new slate, isn't it? And we can put on that slate what we want to put on. Some of us made resolutions. I've got, 9 or 10. And I intended just to put down 3 because about 3 is all I can remember. I have to constantly look at my list. Now, what are the rest of those? But it's good to have goals, and then as time goes on, refine them a little bit. God's Word, by the hand of the Apostle Paul, had wisdom for us along this line, Philippians 3, verse 13. And following. Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or laid hold. He says, I haven't arrived yet. I hadn't gotten there. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. That didn't mean he just totally forgot, because we can see in his writing, in Paul's writing, that he remembered some of those things sometime. But he didn't dwell on them. He says, I forget those things which are behind it and reach forth to those things which are before me. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I usually stop right there, but I'm going to go on to verse 15, first part of it. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect or mature or complete, as we be perfect or complete, be thus minded. Paul's saying, I want you to think like that. That's the kind of thinking we need to have as Christians, he says. And he's writing as directed by the Holy Spirit. He's earlier said in Philippians 2 and 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. All that was, that's a glorious thought, isn't it? To do that. The early church at its beginning was said to be a church with such an attitude. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread and prayer. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. But they did it with steadfastness. This morning I want to deal with just three things we'll talk about just for a few minutes. ABCs of Christian growth. Call them the ABCs of Christian growth because each one of them begins with a letter. One of them begins with A, the other begins with B, the other begins with C. I can remember ABC. A-E-F is a little harder. But ABC or 1, 2, 3 is easier for me. We're going to let that word A stand for active. You can say, oh, it's cold today. Oh, don't talk. I'm getting old up in age. Well, I am too. And not as active as I used to be. Well, notice I didn't say you needed to be as active as you used to be. But we maybe need to be a little bit more active than what we are. One of my resolutions is to exercise more. Boy, if I don't exercise my body more, I'm going to lose 2 or 3 of the years that God still got left allotted for me. What the health people say. If I don't exercise, if I don't walk around any, I'm going to lose the ability to walk. If I don't exercise, if I don't build up some muscles, I'm not going to even have any muscles. And muscles are essential even on 70 and 80-year-old people. And 90-year-old people, some people 80 and 90 years old would put most of us, a lot of us, to shame with what they do to keep their body physically fit. I know some go overboard, but there was a lady back when I was with the church out in Clarksville Highway. I remember, I don't know how I ran across her. I think one of the ladies at church asked me to go by and see her in the hospital. And she was a member of the Good Springs Baptist Church up there in Pleasant View. And at that time, they were building on and just getting bigger and bigger as far as their building and their presence in the community. And we were talking about, well, you know, how'd that happen? She said, well, those people said they don't stand back. Well, I'd never heard anything phrased like that before, but they don't stand back. What she's meaning is that the people there are not very, they're not backward. They get around, they see something needs to be done, they do it. And therefore the church and that community was growing. People were starting to get interested in seeing what they were doing and why they were growing and wanted to be a part of it. In Psalm 84 verse 10, the psalmist said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. You know, when we read about the apostles, how much do you read about Andrew? How many can tell me, you know, two things about Andrew? That's about all the things I know of in the New Testament. He was an apostle. You remember he was an apostle that noticed that there was a boy that had some loaves and fishes as a sack lunch, didn't he? I don't know whether his stomach was growling or what, he was getting hungry, but he noticed this little boy had a sack lunch, so to speak. I don't know why he had the fishes and loaves of bread that he had. But Andrew remembered that. But also, it says that Andrew brought Peter to Christ. Nothing in the Bible ever tells us that Andrew ever brought anybody else to Christ. He probably did. But just bringing Peter to Christ was pretty good, you know. That was a good job. What about the person that brought that baptized Marshall Keeble? Or Willard Collins? Or Gus Nichols? Or some of those people that have been great preachers and teachers for the service of the Lord. In a book by Jack Axum, I run across this statement. I never run across it in other statements. I thought maybe it was his at one time, but he quoted it from somebody else. It's entitled, I'm Only One. I'm only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And what I can do, I ought to do, and by the grace of God, I will do. I'll do it. That's that Nike symbol. I'll do it. Just do it. Now, we're not able to do as much as we used to. I get tired quicker. I'm not able to visit as many people and ride around and talk to as many people and be out as much as I used to be and walk and talk. My voice doesn't hold up as much as it used to. I call people on the telephone and sometimes I gotta stop after talking to four or five people if I'm gonna be preaching or teaching not too soon afterwards. Otherwise my voice is gonna leave. But call some people. Call Richard Sanders. You can't hear him very well, but put that phone, just stick that thing up to your ear real hard and you can hear some of the words he's saying and really make his day. He's been living by himself, and now he's in a hospital by himself, of course. And some have visited him, and we appreciate that. Try to convert someone. Talk to someone. If you don't feel comfortable talking to them about Christ and the Bible, take somebody with you. You know, it's been proven that women live longer than men. So for the most part, in many of our churches that are made up of older people, our congregation sometimes is predominantly women. So especially on Sunday night and Wednesday night. Men are too lazy to get out. Who said that? Did he say what I thought he said? Sometimes we are. I mean, Paul brags on some of the women in the Bible like nobody's business. You know? Luke brings to our attention Dorcas for all the good she's doing. And the only other one he speaks about, he went about doing good, was Jesus. But Dorcas, he talks about Dorcas doing good by making the clothes and the quilts and the things that she made. And Paul brags on Timothy's mama and his grandmama. Just says his daddy was a Greek. That means his daddy, as far as the Jews was concerned, wasn't religious. His mama was, grandmama was, and they were influenced on that boy. Matthew 19, to disciples, Jesus said, Matthew 4:19, he said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. We are to bring others to Christ. We're taught to teach. Invite friends to services. Offer your services to the elders. Sometimes they may not know something that needs to be done right then. But, you know, might get them to thinking. Might get them to thinking. You know, these folks are asking me what they can do for the church, what they can do to serve God in our community. You know, we have to start thinking up some things that they can do. You know, have somebody make telephone calls and make as many telephone calls. Usually we have 8 or 10 people who are absent on Sunday morning, and we try to call them during the week. Well, maybe that's your ministry. You be an encourager like Barnabas was. Barnabas was able to take Mark John on a missionary journey. Paul wasn't, because Paul and Barnabas and Mark John Mark wasn't getting along right then. That didn't mean Paul was wrong or John Mark was wrong. It just meant, you know, they were going their separate ways right then. Now they were okay evidently with one another later. Look for work needing to be done. A lot of times when we're critical, it said to me, and I ran across the statement, that sometimes that when we're critical of others, maybe that ability to criticize is God telling us that we need to take advantage of those opportunities we're seeing and doing them ourselves. Galatians 6:10 says, be not weary in well doing, but in due season, I believe it's 6:9 or 6:10. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let's cross another thing this morning, or not this morning, but this week. The Lord has need of it without helping. Peter loaned a boat to save him from the press, Jesus. Martha loaned her home with busy kindness. One man loaned a coat, another loaned a room, and some threw down their garments, and Joseph loaned him his tomb. Simon loaned his strength, Simon who took care of the cross, the cruel cross to bear. Many brought their spices, his body, to prepare. What have I to lend? No boat, no house, no lands. Dwell, Lord, within my heart. I give to you these hands. The Lord has no hands on this earth but mine and yours. When he was here, he could lend a hand. But while we're here, and to carry out in the future, we have to use our hands. This is our second point. A, active. B, Bible study. You thought I'd get that, didn't you? Bible study. I got something here on when you read the Bible. When you read the Bible through them, we'll read it in just a moment. Each journey that we start, and we'll start a new one this year, it begins with a first step. Remember when you're first baby, I don't know what I remember when Jeff took his first step. Jeff remembers all those things. People take, you know, take all kind of pictures of them today, moving pictures and all that stuff. First steps are important, aren't they? That first step when we became a Christian. You know, and the Bible study is food for the soul. Soul food is what you can call it. Nourishment is needed for physical growth, but it's also needed for spiritual growth. If you don't feel like you've grown very much this last year, maybe it's because you didn't eat the right food spiritually for the growth of your soul. You look back, are you satisfied with where you are now, with where you were, say, at the first of last year? Looking back over 12 months spiritually. Have I grown spiritually? Is God more pleased with me now than He was 12 months ago? Am I pleased? When I look into the mirror and I say, James, Jim, you did what you could do this past year. Well, that's behind. Let's just say, Jim, let's try to do what needs to be done this year. Now, I don't know what all's going to come up. Because each day presents something new to us, doesn't it? Each week presents something new to us. Just as sure as I get down a regular routine of going to see this person or that person or making a call to this person or that person, then suddenly you've got three or four more persons to call or need visiting, talking to or whatever, or listening to most of the time. Bible study. Timothy was told, 2 Timothy 2:15, the scripture we know, we need to be reminded of, study to show thyself approved unto God, or give diligence to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, handling aright, or rightly dividing the word of God. Do we know more about the Bible? Do we know more Bible would be the better question. Do we know more Bible this year than we did last year? At the beginning of the year. Now, Janice, we were talking about remembering in the Bible the verses and whatever, and I've studied, you know, now it seems like I've studied for 50-something years, 60 years. And I know more about where the Bible, that's why I feel a need to go to a revised translation of the Bible. Eddie, I know Eddie thinks about it, Joe. Some others have different translations than the King James. But I know what side of the page and which column it is in the one I got here. And it's hard for me to even get away from this Bible, even though this one cost me over $100, would you believe? You know, the Bible ought not cost over $100. But if you want to get the same one you've had for 50 years, it's going to cost you $100-something probably. So I've got three of these babies. Two more at home that I've kind of worn out some of the pages. You know, I've been rightly dividing the word. I've been pulling out this chapter of this book and that book. Study is not just reading. We read the Bible through, and reading the Bible through is good. But let's listen to what this fellow put together, Amos R. Wells. When you read the Bible through, I suppose I knew my Bible. Reading piecemeal, hit or miss. Now a bit of John or Matthew, now a snatch of Genesis. Certain chapter of Isaiah, certain Psalms, the 23rd. 12th of Romans, 1st of Proverbs. Yes, I thought I knew the word. But I found that thorough reading was a different thing to do. And the way was unfamiliar. When I read the Bible through, you who like to play at Bible, dip and dabble here and there, just before you kneel a-weary and yawn through a hurried prayer. I know we've probably all gone through that. You who treat the crown of writings as you treat no other book, just a paragraph disjointed, just a crude, impatient look. Try a worthier procedure. Try a broad and steady view. You will kneel in very rapture when you read the Bible through. Never kind of thought of it that way. And you may not want to take the whole process of starting right from the book of Genesis, but that would be a good idea. But read the entire book if you're reading in the Bible. Try to read an entire book, because then and only then will you get what the writer is getting at. The mentioned that the early church continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. 2 Timothy 4:13 tells us Paul was very interested in the reading of God's word. He spoke to Timothy and said, "Timothy, the cloak I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bringeth with thee. And the books, but especially the parchments." And it's thought that the parchments likely referred to the Old Testament scriptures. "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for God's word says, for they shall be thrilled." See, constant self-examination. You know, when our kids were little, and I imagine yours too, you used to do it, or they did, they'd mark their height on the wall from year to year, or every 6 months. We usually marked it by the number of pair of shoes we had to buy. Those kids were growing. Those kids, when you have four boys that wound up being teenagers at the same time, you have quite a good experience. Self-examination. You know, we do this in all areas of life. If you don't, you need to, especially physicals. Go to a doctor at least once a year for that physical, and then follow up on any visits that the doctor thinks you need or you think you need. In businesses, we have inventories we take periodically. Many of them, it's a perpetual inventory. They just take an inventory. That's what that old computer's for. They know every little article they got in that store. Walgreens knows if something is missing, or Walmart if something is missing. They know whether they've been pilfered. Somebody is taking it out the back door, employees or somebody that's a customer. Now, we're taught to examine ourselves. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 13:5, Paul says, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith." So it's a biblical principle to examine ourselves every once in a while, to kind of look at ourselves in a spiritual mirror and say, you know, how are you doing, Jim? How are you doing spiritually? How is your soul? How is your soul lately? You know, when Daniel, speaking in Daniel 5, verse 27, in that scene with Belshazzar, one thing he told this king of the Chaldeans, he said, "They are weighed in the balances and found wanting." You know, I don't want one of these days to hear a statement like that from God. "You're weighed in the balances, Jim, and you're lacking. You know, you didn't really live up to what you professed to be. You confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, but then you didn't keep it up. You went off on a tangent. You tried to do things your own way." When I was younger, my dad didn't like to go to the doctor. Afraid the doctor would say there was something wrong. Well, that's the reason to go to doctors. In fact, my brother, I imagine my brother died early in life because he didn't go to doctors. He had a hurting down here in his stomach, and my sister would say something bad, and you feel if a person is hurting, but Gary didn't know enough about that kind of stuff, because he'd never been taught to go to the doctor. Dad didn't go to the doctor. Mama did quite a bit. But he didn't want to go to the doctor, afraid he'd find something wrong. Well, they did find something wrong. Dad lived to be an old age. Mike didn't, and my brother Gary didn't. So as we think about the ABC's growth, as we think about our own lives this year, and what we kind of expect from us and what God expects from us, we need to read the Word and find out more about what God expects of us. But we need to to be active. Be like that lady said that that church was. Stand up. Don't stand back. Don't stand back. They didn't just wait for things to happen. They were part of the things that were happening. Bible study. Bible study is important. Not just read it and read it without paying attention. Constant self-examination. Don't let things slip. Are you ready for that judgment day? No horse gets anywhere until it's harnessed. No steam or gas ever drives anything unless it's confined. No Niagara is ever turned into light and power, or you know, any one of these lakes that we've got, not turned into power until that power is focused, is confined, is tunneled. No life ever grows until it's focused, until it's dedicated, until it's disciplined. And sometimes it's difficult for us to think about that as we grow older. I don't like change, you know. And people, you don't change other people. That's one thing. You know, a lot of times folks expect preachers to stand up and everybody just, anybody that's not a Christian, they'll all become Christians. Those that are not away from Christ, they'll come back to Christ. But you know, you do your own thinking. We're all responsible individuals. We're all given choices to make. And we have the power to make those choices. And you only have it. I don't make decisions for you. And you don't make decisions for me. Now change, you can't change me. You could badger me. I could badger you to try it, but you know, you change yourself. And in business, they say, you know, you're the only person. Well, God in Christ can change you, though. The reading of God's word is sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces the heart. So, if change, and one other thing, and then I'll leave it with you. In business, they made a stupid statement a number of times, and I thought it was stupid for a while, and I thought about it. If things don't change, they stay the same. That sounds dumb, doesn't it? But that is profound. I don't know who first said it, but if things don't change, they stay the same. It's kind of like you say. It doesn't sound like common sense, but Paul told the Christians at Corinth to be steadfast and unmovable, always working in the Lord. That they're knowing that their labor would not be in vain in the Lord. This morning, if you're not a Christian, why not come to Christ today saying that you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, if that's what you do? Acting on that faith, being repentant of your sins, willing to be baptized based upon the fact that Jesus requires it. And for the forgiveness of sins. And then to walk in newness of life. And then to live life for Christ. Be active and read the Bible study, and have constant self-examination. If you're here and have need of Christ, or need to come back, or need to rededicate your life to Christ, why don't you come to the stand and sing?